April of 2020 marks the first month in almost 20 years with no shootings on school grounds, as schools in 43 states remain closed due to COVID-19. While acknowledging the sobering milestone, Sandy Hook Promise is raising concerns that the threat of violence persists, as its crisis center sees a concerning spike in life-threatening tips coming into its national Say Something Anonymous reporting system, including reports of abuse, cyberbullying, suicidal thoughts, cutting, and other self-harm. But we'll be talking about this and more on this episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 11th ever episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. I'm your host, Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. Before we get started, I do want to say that you all can become financial supporters of this show by going to anchor.fm/Tolson/support. Again, that is anchor.fm/Tolson/support. Now let's get into the verbal disclaimer. This episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist, is not for those without an open mind. From the title, you already know that this topic is something that many of you will not be able to listen to and understand the severity of. This episode covers the very controversial topic of school shootings. Opinions stated in this episode are those of solely Jarius and not of Anchor, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Radio Public, Google, Apple, or anyone else. Viewer discretion is advised. It's hard to empathize with someone who carries out a school shooting. The brutality of their crimes is unspeakable. Whether the shootings were at Columbine, at Sandy Hook, or in Parkland, they have traumatized students and communities across the United States. Psychologist John Van Driel understands that. He is the director of safety and risk management at Salem Kaiser Public Schools in Oregon, a state that has had its fair share of school shootings. In 2014, about 60 miles from Salem, where Van Driel is based, a 15-year-old boy shot one student and a teacher at his high school before killing himself. Van Driel said in a statement, "Someone went out of their way to target and kill children who looked like our children, teachers who looked like our teachers, and did it for no other reason than to hurt them. And that's very personal." Still, Van Driel, another psychologist, and law enforcement agents do spend a lot of time thinking about what it's like to be one of those school shooters, because they say that is key to prevention. But I'm saying, what about the victims? Now, I'm issuing a trigger warning before the following clip from Teen Vogue, which depicts text messages sent by people affected by gun violence.
This is a text sent from Mackenzie in Aztec High School. "Mom, I am okay. There was a school shooting right outside my classroom. I'm not sure what happened yet. I cannot call you yet, but I am really scared. They got the person who had the gun, but we have to stay in my classroom."
These are texts a Parkland student sent to their mom. "Something's happened. Potentially shooters. We don't know if it's a drill or not. I'm safe. Don't worry."
This is a message from Caitlin during the Delta State University shooting. "Mom, I'm safe. There's an active shooter on campus. A professor got shot. We are on lockdown now."
A text message from Hannah in Parkland. "There's a shooter on campus. They just shot through the walls. Someone in my class is injured. I am not joking. Call Mom and Dad."
This is a text from a student in Parkland. "I'm so scared. There's cops everywhere. I'm so scared."
This is a text message from Eddie during the Pulse nightclub shooting. "Call them, Mommy. Now. He's coming. I'm going to die."
These are texts a Parkland student named Kai sent to their mom. "Ma, I love you, but we're having a school emergency. I don't know what's happening, but if anything happens to me, no matter what, I love you."
Lost in a noisy debate over gun control and mental health screening is another co-founding question. Why schools? Why do so many troubled young men choose schools as a place to act out their violent and vengeful fantasies? And what, if anything, can schools do to avoid becoming the next Columbine, Sandy Hook, or Stoneman Douglas? We know how to prevent school shootings, and we should stop pretending like there's nothing we can do because we lack the political will to act. There is extensive educational research showing the value of school-based programs to prevent student aggression, and there are multiple studies by the Police Foundation and others showing how shootings have been averted. These findings should spark both hope and frustration every time we hear about another student attack. In addition, it is important to acknowledge that access to guns plays a key role in the extremely high rate of shootings across the United States. Our political leaders must find a reasonable and constitutional pathway to limit the widespread availability of firearms to persons who cannot use them in a responsible and lawful manner. After every school shooting, we hear lamentations about our inability to keep our children safe from violence. However, the Secret Service study and dozens of others tell us what we need to do. Schools are safest when we attend to the mental health and well-being of the youth. Schools need resources to obtain high-quality training to conduct appropriate threat assessments and the mental health staff to meet the needs of troubled students. Mental health professionals, teachers, and families working together are the most effective way to prevent more shootings. It's time to put politics aside and take action based on evidence. Here are some signs from the Sandy Hook Promise that they teach students, parents, and teachers to look out for and speak out about. These apply to anyone we interact with, not just students. A strong fascination or obsession with firearms and/or an excessive study of firearms and mass shootings. Someone who is exhibiting excessive overreactions or aggressive behavior for a seemingly minor reason, which can signal that someone cannot self-regulate their emotions or control their anger. Gestures of violence, such as aggressive body language and/or rude hand gestures. Low commitment or aspirations towards school, work, or a sudden shift in performance. Perpetrators of self-harm or violence towards others may be victims of long-term bullying and may have real or perceived feelings of being picked on or persecuted by others. Extreme feelings of isolation or social withdrawal due to real or perceived actions of others can lead to further withdrawal from society. Unsupervised, illegal, and/or easy access to firearms or bragging about access to firearms. And making overt threats of violence, spoken, written, pictures, videos, gestures, aggressive body language, and/or hand gestures. One warning sign on its own may not mean a person is planning an act of violence, but they should all be taken seriously, especially if multiple warning signs are witnessed. This does not have to be our new normal. We all need to stay vigilant and work to prevent these tragedies from happening. We all have the power, and we all just need to say something.